Born is the King of Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. We hope you enjoyed the St. Timothy Gospel Chorus Choir. Caroling group there. Amen. God is all right. Today and yesterday and tomorrow. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. I know some of you may be anxious to begin conjuring up stuff you need for the holidays, so we're going to try to pass on a good word to you today. We've been having some interesting topics, and I don't know, I guess mostly everyone here is aware that last week we talked about incorporating Christmas power into your life, or into life, period. And Christmas signed, sealed, and delivered. Because God kept his promise throughout the generations. And you know what? The good news about that is that there's more things that God has promised that will also surely come to pass. That we're looking forward to, and we're starting to see the fruition of some of those things right now. We talked about spreading the love of Christmas, and we practice that when we do things like what we did yesterday and all the times we reach out to people to share the gospel with them, no matter whether they be Brother John in the jailhouse or in the shelter or myself on the streets or anywhere you are when you share the gospel. That's what you're doing, is spreading the love of Christmas. We talked about confidence, the reason why you do that, caused by coinciding consciousness. You and I have been granted to have a consciousness that's motivated and directed in sync with the Most High God. That's what he gives you when he gives you an understanding of his word and fills you with his spirit. We talked about bolstering spiritual growth. Y'all are hearing kind of about brief presentation of the titles of most recent messages, all of which are still online if you want to review them. The spiritual side of our life is the side we need to develop. Amen. And our side in the battle against sin, we talked about that. You do have a side in the battle. Yeah. But for today, I just wanted to mention a few of those just to kind of tweak your memory. I want to talk to you, since we're in the season of giving. This is one of the most practiced seasons of giving by the world, or folks who really don't know God. Christians are giving all the time, all around the year, when we support the church, which, as we see it, is God's organization on earth. The only organization of God on earth is his church, who is spreading a rightly divided word. Amen. Now, the church is not necessarily only the visible church. It's not just the church you can see, anybody with a shingle that says we're the church. But it is the people who are actually spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And his word rightly divided, which is what the apostles left for you and I to observe. So we want to talk about this a little bit today, just to get you ready for the season at hand. Amen. Not that you're not already ready, but it's always good to be reinforced. Yeah. This idea of meeting on the first day of the week, that's God's idea.
Amen.
Come together and ruminate and marinate in my word. Yeah. So I can feed you and teach you. Yeah. It's amazing how much God can get input into our lives in one day, and we've been out saturated for 6 days with total hogwash in the world.
Amen.
And we come for one day, and God can speak into your life volumes about where you are and what you need to do and how to move forward.
Yes, okay.
So since we're in this season which people have taken and turned it into nothing but about gifts and all of that, without looking at the greatest gift of all, I want to talk with you today about continue unwrapping God's greatest gift.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I thought about a scenario. Now, this is a little crazy, and I'll tell you about this. When I was in school, I had a friend. He and I used to sit and talking past stuff back and forth. The teacher always had to rebuke us about talking and stuff in the class, so we decided we would start writing notes.
Mm-hmm.
One day, he gave me a note. It was in a thing about this thick, and I opened it up, and when I opened it, there was another container, and I opened that and tore it open, and I kept on opening the thing, and I'm looking at him going, well, wait a minute, what's up with this, you know? And he's sitting over there just talking about, keep on, go ahead. So I got down, and the next thing you know, it was a little envelope like this. I tore that open and looked in there, and it says, gotcha. I said, oh, okay, I see. So it was a whole big thing, and he rolled. He hit the floor, you know. And so it just freaked me out. So I got him back, though, I want to let you know. I came in one day, I had a big ball like this of paper. And I said, here, I got a note for you. And I set it on his desk. And we're sitting there trying to listen. Teacher's up there on the board writing stuff, talking and all that. And he starts peeling off layers off of this thing and stuffing them in his desk. And he's looking across at me. And I said, go ahead, keep on going. And he kept on going until he got down in there. And when he got down to the ball, was about this big. It was like the size of a spitball. And don't tell me y'all don't know what that is. He opened it up, and it was a little paper with a stick figure that said, hi. guy. But it was funny. Then I hit the floor and we both got thrown out of the room. But the fact is, all that continuous unwrapping, that's what I was thinking about. Sometimes I have done that with certain gifts, and my wife may tell you, you put it in a box and it looks like something else, then by the time you get down in there, you find out what it really is. You know. And so God has done this, except every layer that you open with Jesus is a good layer.
Amen.
He's giving you something, not just a bunch of hogwash with like the stuff I was just talking about. And so we're going to read just a little bit here as we get into this. I wanted to talk with you on a critical subject. And we're going to use that theme of continue unwrapping God's greatest gift. Continue to unwrap it. It has layers. And the problem is not that God is trying to hold something out on us. It's that we have to grow spiritually where we can understand the next layer of God's gift. The closer we get down to the real deal, all the way down when we see Him and we are like Him. But John says, because we will see Him just as He is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And whoso has this faith in Him purifieth himself, mm-hmm. even as He is pure. Our life is a constant moving toward purity in Christ's likeness. Mm-hmm. So let's read a few verses here, if you don't mind. Stretch your legs. I know y'all probably just stretched out there. But let's read a few verses from Zechariah, the prophet from the Old Testament. Y'all know we've been picking up different ones pertaining to the gospel of Christ as we've been in this entire study through this season. We're going to take a look at Zechariah chapter 12, just three verses. And then I want you to look in the New Testament at the book of Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 6 to 9. And we're going to talk on that just a little bit. So read with me from the KJV, Zechariah 12 and 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about. And when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. That's a critical prophecy. Y'all know what's going on in the news, and I want to connect this to what we're talking about. Now let's read Ephesians 3, 6 to 9, the Apostle Paul's letter, Ephesians 3, 6. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And make known to all men, see what the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. You may be seated in the sanctuary. We're going to talk about unwrapping God's greatest gift. Amen. Now, as you see in the news now, little old Israel and Jerusalem keeps popping up, doesn't it?
Amen.
It's the bone or the point of contention among all the nations, the United Nations. This is not folklore. This is the news. The stuff I'm telling you, you can turn on the evening news, and there it is. Now, how did that happen? How did that little, tiny little piece of real estate get in the middle of the news today in the world that is upwardly mobile and moving toward higher and higher things? So they think. You see, and the fact is, what God said, when God got done with this book, He sealed the book with a curse. Revelation 22:18 says, don't add anything to my word, or I'll add to you the plagues that are written in this book. And if you subtract anything, I will take your name out of the book of life and the things that are written in this book. See, so He said, I'm done. I don't need to say anymore. So when we turn on the news 2017 years later, and we find that nearly 2,000 years, let's say, from the 95 AD up till now, and everything God said is right there and it's on the news, well, hello. Is that a wake-up call for anybody? God's gift is still being unfolded. The greatest thing that has ever happened up until now in the history of the world And you won't hear this one on the news. You'll only hear this in the church. If you happen to get a minister that believes what God said and his word, and you can find some who don't. You can find people today who think that they speak higher than God's word. There's big organizations in the world with a lot of money and a lot of support who say that the head of their organization has more authority than God's word. So you need to look out for such things. Because God said, this is my word, and it will be good all the way until the heavens and earth have passed away. He said it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one jot or one tittle to in any wise fail from what I have said. And so we know this because when we turn on our TVs in sophisticated United States and we see Jerusalem in the news, God is doing what he said.
That's right.
Now, you know what ought to make us? That's why Jesus told his disciples. They said, well, how will we know when all these things happen when Jesus gave a prophecy about the end times?
That's right.
He said, keep your eye on the fig tree, which is the symbol for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see it puts, just as the fig tree puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Even so, when you see Israel coming back into the focal point of everything, you know that it's at the door. I'm at the door, even at hand. He's right there. He says, I'm ready to come in and set things in order. Now, what he's going to do is set the whole world in order. You and I have looked at some of those verses already in our studies up to this point. We looked at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 60, that has a prophecy there that is not yet fulfilled. The first part of it was the first Christmas, that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, was his death on the cross, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That hasn't happened yet. See what I mean? So that prophecy spanned all of time, all the way back from Isaiah on up until days yet to come.
Amen.
When Christ will be seated on his throne and will rule and reign with a rod of iron.
Mm-hmm.
In one little thing, God said, one passage, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And he shall rule and reign on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And he says that the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. In other words, you can take this to the bank, baby, to put it in modern terms. Take this to the bank. This is the real deal. If I said it, I can do it. See, that's what the book of Numbers has said. Remember that? It has God. If God said it, it will be done, period. So we can count on it. And we can see evidence in our news today that exactly what Zechariah the prophet wrote about, and I just pulled him up. We could have pulled up many. Says here, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens. This is that guy who made everything and laid the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. That's a summary of Genesis, where he said that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. See, so it's kind of a summary. And then he put man and said, let us make man in our image. And he put his spirit in man. You see that? Kind of a summary of Genesis right there, that first verse. He says, and he cuts to a later time, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. And they shall be in the siege. That means people are going to be trying to attack Jerusalem. Both against Judah and against Jerusalem. That's that land they are arguing about now. Talk about the Palestinian conflict. And we can't have peace until we settle this situation going on in Palestine and between the Gaza Strip and Jerusalem, which Donald Trump, the sitting president at this time, has declared to be the capital again of Israel. And the United Nations is saying, well, who do you think you are, buddy, to declare that to be the capital? And they're fighting and they're having contention because Jeremiah said that they will be saying peace, peace, and there is no peace. There's no peace over there right now, even though they're talking about the Camp David Accord and all these different peace treaties. And you know how many they made? They made quite a few, but how many of them have been broken? All of them. There has never been peace over there. They keep saying peace, peace, and there is no peace. And they're all going to be broken. And right now, Israel has an ally. The United States and some other nations are allied with Israel. But Zechariah says there's coming a day when, notice the next verse here, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about. And they shall be in the siege, in other words, planning to attack all around, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Judah is the whole southern kingdom, that area they're fighting about now.
Yeah.
Right now, they're going to be the bone of contention that starts the major conflict in the end times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the news today. So does God know what he's talking about?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Absolutely. And in that day, he says, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. It's going to be a little stone, but it's going to be hard for you to deal with it. For all people, whoever comes against it, all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Now, how can that little nation cut to pieces all the nations of the earth? Only one way. That the mighty God who promised, that we looked at before, who sits on the throne of his father David, is coming to overtake the governments of the world. That's why in Revelation it says that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. That's why Philippians 2 says that Jesus is coming, and that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's why it says he is the only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, because he's going to rule and reign over all the governments of the world. And that's coming. People don't even want to hear that today. Oh, that's unpleasant for you. If you sit like kind of like Herod, when they come talking about, well, where is he that's born the King of the Jews? Where is he at? We're looking for him. We saw his star, and he said, oh, he got a star? Oh, my Lord. What kind of king is this? Got a star. See what I'm saying? It really was the Shekinah of glory of God following his son.
Amen.
To point out the place where the Magi had to go. So what I want you to see here is that we're in some critical times. It's not time for you as a member of the church to be asleep. You don't want to sleep this one.
No.
Because God is on the move fulfilling exactly what he said. The Holy Bible is God's repository of truth, which gives the most accurate facts about the world, mankind, human destiny, the predicament of the fall, the realities of the course of man in the world, the progress of his chosen people, and even the restoration of all things that are marred by the sin of Adam, and the continuing complete story of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, who provides total healing for all the ill effects of sin, not just to the world, but to the universe, and but also to the souls of all who believe in him for their salvation. That's what we're talking about. That's what Christmas is really about.
That's right.
See, don't let somebody sell you on something less than that. That's what we're talking about. Is that God has sent the Creator, and his word gives valid, sound evidence that he has come and that he is the greatest one.
Yes.
God's people, Israel, his chosen capital city, Jerusalem, shall continue to be the focal point of the planet because it has been decreed by God to belong to the seed of Abraham. God promised Abraham that he was going to inherit all this land.
Right.
Come out of your country. He called him out of Iraq,
right,
and Iran, over there where he was, which at that time was Ur of the Chaldeans. See, now it has a new name. He called him out. Get thee out of thy country, and I'm going to show you a word I'm going to give you. Just follow me. And Abraham went out not knowing whither he went, because by faith he trusted God. See, and God promised him all the land from the great sea, which at that time would have been known as the Mediterranean Sea, to the river Euphrates. And Israel has never occupied all that land at any time in their history. But the promise is yet to be fulfilled. See, and so basically he promised it to the seed of Abraham, and therefore Israel shall remain the focal point of all historic events until the entirety of the nation turn against her. And we see that working on that now. They're working on it right now. Then God shall execute judgment on all the world because of her. Because his promise is thick.
Mm-hmm.
It's certain.
Amen.
And we're going to see it happen if we happen to live long enough to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, don't ever worry about anything, because God got your back.
Yes.
Wherever you are in this scenario, God's got your back.
Yes.
And so you know it's true because you believe the word. You know why we believe the word? Have we thought about that? We believe the word because God brought us out of death. He called us out of death, redeemed us by the blood of Jesus, by faith in him.
Yes.
And he gives you faith.
Yes.
It's not something you generate or you crank it out yourself. The dead people aren't cranking and generating anything.
No.
You know, they're doing nothing. They're laying in a dormant state.
Amen.
And that's it. So dead people don't do anything.
Amen.
But God calls you, and he gives you life by his word, by the gospel.
Amen.
And so if you believe, you need to thank him, because he woke you up.
Amen.
Call called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's given you a mind to understand his word, to open up the mysteries of the word of God. Now the word mystery is not like we think it is today. We think mystery, oh, great whodunit, and we're going to find out who is the murderer, and oh, it must be the butler. Well, none of that. See, it's none of that. Mystery, the Greek word mysterion, means something that's spiritually discerned. God gives you the ability in a human mind to understand something that requires spiritual revelation. If you don't believe him, it'll be a stumbling block to you. That's the reason why it says that Christ came, and to the Jews he's a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but unto us who are being saved he is both the power of God and the wisdom of God. Paul says to the Corinthians, see, because he gives you the faith that you believe and understanding to open up the mysteries of God, so that you can understand and believe it and trust God and what God has said in his word. And the difference between us and people who don't, some people are doing stuff and God said you were going to do it, but they're not doing it because I'm trying to please God. They're being motivated by their flesh. Like, I believe the whole thing with this stuff that's going on now is somebody motivated by their flesh, or they're motivated by dollar bills, or they're motivated by prestige or by power, something else other than moving God's program forward. See, it's not a spiritual thing. That's why John said, try the spirits to see whether they be of God. The ones who are confessing Jesus Christ has come in the flesh are of God. The ones who deny Christ or try to put him on the par with something else, they're not of God. That's the Antichrist, John said, the spirit of Antichrist. See, and so, and you know the difference. Why? Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. See, the Holy Spirit is in you to give you that revelation so you understand who Jesus is, why he has come. Where are we in the scenario of all things that are going to happen in the world? You and I can see it. We have insights, not because we're so smart, but it's because God is faithful. And he said he has equipped everyone who trusts in Christ to understand these things. See, and we grow in it. That's why you have to unwrap, continue to unwrap God's greatest gift. There's another layer down in there, kind of like the thing I was telling you. And if you open it up a little more, you see a little bit more of what God is doing. God is trying to educate you so you're not taken by surprise when things happen, because it's going to get rough. You know what? I don't think it's any coincidence that there are fires burning that people can't put out. Have you noticed that? All the fire departments on the West Coast have been battling a fire for months. But thousands of them. And it's still burning. Somebody better wake up and smell the coffee. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? Is that a coincidence? And then we better be very careful. You know what? I'm kind of on a soapbox here. Give me just a minute. I'll get you done here in a minute. I want you to see that sometimes when people are trying to make decisions motivated by lust for power and money, they make mistakes. That's what we have going on. They're giving people who hate you, empowering them to have gas stations everywhere, all around. Have you noticed that? Both from a descent of people who hate Israel. And they're on every corner. It's a little fearful thought to me. You got fires out here burning, you can't even stop it, but you're giving enemies who hate Israel and who hate you, you're giving them power and authority and fuel. And what the scripture says, people always say, oh, America is never in the scripture. You need to get a deeper layer, unwrap to get another layer. You need to wrap another layer off of there and look down in there. See, you'll find out that we better be on our P's and Q's. And because God is going to do exactly what he said. And if you misunderstand Israel, you miss a big part of what God is doing. You miss the focal point of what God is doing. And so basically, God's people in Israel, that's the chosen capital city of Jerusalem, shall come to be the very focal point. We said that. Now, this is what I want you to see. Look at what Paul says, and we can wrap up our thoughts. I didn't want this to be a dark message, although some of what is going on is kind of a dark thing. But to me, it's good that we know about it.
Amen.
If you don't know about it, what you going to do with it? If you haven't heard nothing about it, it starts happening. Do you have faith to persevere through it? Do you have faith to continue to trust God through it? See, God says he can deliver you. I can, just in a moment, I'm going to snatch my church up out of the mess before the tribulation begins.
Amen.
See, and so you need to trust him. No matter what you see, be like Joseph that we mentioned in our prayer today. So Paul writing the Ephesians, let's take a look at it real quick and we can bring this together. Ephesians says, this is Paul telling you about the mystery of God. And you have to read the first five verses to get the background. But he said, this is the mystery that has been hidden in God since the world began. And he says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. That's God's message that was concealed in the old covenant. God's salvation was actually spoken to a Gentile first before the Jews were ever produced as a people. Abraham was a Chaldean, a Gentile. He was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. He had no seed. His wife was barren. And God went through him and fulfilled the promise of impossibility that he would bring forth Isaac. And he said, and Isaac shall your seed be called. And he said, I'm going to bless not only you, Abraham, but all the earth through your seed is going to be blessed. Read Genesis 12. To a Gentile. Now there were no Jews yet till three generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, or Jacob, you see, who had the 12 tribes, and God produced a people for his own possession out of them. And it was from total impossibility that he brought the whole nation forth. And of course, Jesus Christ is the culmination of why he called Israel. And Jesus is the seed of Abraham. That's what Paul told the Galatians. See, and so that's the mystery that was concealed in God from the foundation of the world. The Jews who didn't believe it, unbelieving Jews, rejected the gospel, and they're still in unbelief. Doesn't mean all of them are not saved. Only the ones who don't believe in Christ. And they're the ones who are occupying that land over there right now. There are some saved Jews over there. Keep in mind, the beginning of the church was Jews who believed. The apostles were Jews. And so it's not that you have to be of any nationality, because the promise was to the whole world. And that's the mystery that Paul is talking about here. He says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore, he says, whereof I was made a minister. So that was his job, to administer this to the world. According to the gift of grace, of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So God is the one who energizes you to understand these things. Saul hated the church. He was on the side of the unbelieving Jews. Remember that? Yeah. Until he confronted Christ. He was confronted by Christ on the Damascus Road. So he says here in verse 8, unto me. I think he's very humble here in this verse. Who am the least of all saints? Yeah. Me. I hated the church, but he turned me around out of my deadness. And is this grace given? So he's just overwhelmed that God is using him. That's the way I feel. That should be how you feel. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Okay. See that? That's why you got to unwrap that gift a little bit deeper. It's got some more layers you haven't gotten to yet. When you get down in there, you're going to know some stuff you didn't know before. And he says, my purpose and the purpose of the church, verse 9 in Ephesians 3, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That all people, see that, from which was from the beginning of the world, have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. See, Christ Jesus is the creator. Yes. And it's been hidden in God from the foundation of the world, but revealed to us. Yes. Did you know angels are learning stuff from you? Have you ever heard that before? Yes. That's what the word says. Angels are learning stuff from the church.
Yes.
They're going, wow, they long to look into the things that God is doing. They haven't received special revelation you and I have.
Amen.
And they're watching history unfold and watching what God said come unfolded little by little. The gift is being wrapped.
Amen.
Chapter by chapter and verse by verse.
Amen.
And it's going to come out to redound to the glory of God, to Christ seated on his throne. That's where it's going to end up.
Amen.
Jerusalem is going to be in the middle of it. And you and I can see it.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful to God when he shows me that we can see stuff and know where history is going.
Yeah.
We don't have to be in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
We're children of the light.
Mm-hmm.
The gifts and the calling, the gifts of God to the church are deep, plenteous, and powerful, because God put enough into his gifts to share with all of mankind, and has decreed that we must continue to unwrap his gift until his return, and he provides his blessing to all the world. That's what he's doing right now. And you are a part of it if you're a part of the church.
Amen.
So we're talking about giftedness. God has gifted you to be saved.
Amen.
He's gifted you to understand his grace. He's gifted you to be a part of the team that goes out to reach unbelievers. Mm-hmm. He's giving you one powerful thing.
Yeah.
And that's what the only thing the church needs. That's why people want to call the church talking about the evangelical church. Yes, it is. the gospel, the evangel, the good news. That's where we start. He said, go into all the world and teach. Yeah. That's what Jesus said after he got out the grave. And death didn't even hold him. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the mystery of God.
Yeah.
He became a child wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Yeah.
Laid in a feeding trough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rejected by men from his very birth. Mm-hmm. All the way until he became old enough to be the priest of the Most High God, which was the age of 30 according to his law. He ministered among them in Palestine, if you want to call it that, in Israel, that area of the world, until the people there hated him and crucified him because they didn't believe who he was. And he allowed them to do that. He had already written that in his book. They didn't even know. We're fulfilling exactly what he said.
That's right. Amen.
We're piercing his side. We are wounding him for our transgression. We're bruising him for our iniquity.
Yeah.
We're chastising him for our peace. But they didn't know they were doing that. But that's what they were doing. God had written it down. It was in their book. They had it. They were trusted with it. All those generations didn't know we are the ones doing it. They gambled for his clothes in the crowd. It was written in the book.
That's right.
Pierced them through the side. And all of that was all written down in their book. But they were blind because they were spiritually dead.
Yes, they were.
That they didn't understand that he is Messiah, the Son of the living God. And we have been empowered with that message. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God.
Amen.
Unto salvation to everyone who believes it. That's why Jesus said, all power is given to me. Matthew 28:18. In heaven and earth. That lets you know that nobody has more power than Jesus anywhere.
No.
All power is given to me. In heaven and earth. Then he told his disciples, go ye and teach all the nations, and we're still here teaching the gospel.
Yeah.
The gospel, Paul says, is the power of God. When you tell people the gospel, the Holy Ghost energizes the message.
Yes, it does.
Amen.
That's why people believe. It's not because you're such an eloquent preacher or a teacher of the word. No. You tell them the truth.
Yeah.
And they hear it and they understand because the Spirit says, you are hearing the truth.
Yeah. Tell it.
And then they can select to choose it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's how it works. And we have the power of God. This is the message of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
See, when they believe, he said, baptize them.
Mm-hmm.
And then teach them to observe all things. That's my book. Teach them my book cover to cover.
Mm-hmm.
That's the duty of the church.
Amen.
And so we're in the midst of that. And we keep on unwrapping the gift, and it keeps getting better and better the more we get through. And when we get down in there, somebody said they're going to run into the pearl of great price.
Yeah.
The anointed one, he's in there. He's all through every layer. And you learn more and more about him the deeper you go into him. See? And so that's it. So if we just want you to know, tell that to your friends. If they look at you like you're crazy, tell them you're right. I'm crazy about Jesus. That's what I do. You don't have to enjoy it. I'm going to tell you because God told me to tell you. Tell you about Jesus. Holy Spirit says whenever you do that, that he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Yeah.
Sin because they believe not on me. Righteousness because I go to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Mm-hmm. You know, the devil has already lost. You don't have to let him triumph
that's
on your head.
Right.
He already lost.
Yeah.
Jesus defeated him at the cross.
Amen.
He was defeated at the cross.
Oh.
See? And so that's what you and I need to know. He can't hold you. He has no authority over you.
No.
See? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. I don't understand how that works, but it's true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you just tell people. You know, if you tell them, God says, I'm going to energize the message. If they believe, bring them in, baptize them, and teach them. If they don't, shake the dust off your feet, move right on along.
Yeah.
Paul understood that. He said, are you all up here boasting about Timothy, I mean, different folks here, Peter and Apollos, all of them in the church. He said, but who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We're not important. We're not the significant part of the mystery. Just servants by whom you believe. That's what he said.
Oh.
You know, doesn't make any difference. He said, he who is the least esteemed in the church has authority to oversee stuff in the church.
Mm-hmm.
That means if he calls somebody with little intelligence, the Holy Spirit can guide them.
Yes.
And make them stand up and do a right thing. Mm-hmm. And do what's best and right for the church.
Mm-hmm.
So when you tell the gospel, I just wanted to say, give that gift away. God gave it to you. It's a unending, plenteous gift.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about the results. That's his business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just give it out. Let him take care of the other part.
Yeah.
If you're here today, anybody in the room, and you have just now understood the gospel, God loves you, gave Jesus for you, and raised him out the dead to show you that what he did was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know it was perfect. Because otherwise, death would keep him like it did everybody else who died.
Yep.
But death did not keep him. Death was swallowed up in victory. So that he could say, go. And he did all that so he could send me and you out to tell the rest.
Amen.
And the church is here today.
Amen.
And it's going to be here. I don't care what happened, what they do over there in Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because the King of Kings will reign on that throne. Right now, Jesus said this. This is one more prophecy and I'm done. He said that Jerusalem shall be trodden under the feet of Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So there's a set time.
Yeah.
When that time is over, that's it.
That's it.
And we don't know when that'll be, but it's awfully close.
Yeah.
It's awfully close. Getting closer every day.
Yes, it is.
Every time you see something happening over there, it should be a wake-up call.
Yes, it is.
And it's not about what we do. I want to make sure you know that. I'm not trying to scare you.
Mm-mm.
But I'm trying to make you aware that God loves you. He's already did everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
Trust him. Be holy. Because I am holy. That's what he said. It's not ever an excuse to do wrong. But it's a reason to trust him and do right and do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
See? And tell it to everybody. It cost him his only begotten son. I always say salvation is free, but it's not cheap. Because God paid a great debt, a great cost for it in order to pay our bill for our sin. Amen. So let everyone stand, please, right now. And if you're here today and if you're not saved, we want to speak to you first.
Yes.
And you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. It's a gift. God wants to give you that gift. And so if you're here today, pray with me. And if you are not saved, but if you're hearing my voice by extension, Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. We come understanding that there's one way to be right with you, and that is by faith in your Son who you sent out of eternity to be dawned in a body of flesh and to take punishment for our sins and transgressions, to be crucified on a tree, buried in the grave and risen after 3 days and nights according to your word, and seen on earth for 40 days by his own disciples, and ascended into heaven to sit at your right hand to make intercession for us, the only mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. We come trusting in him. We ask you to cleanse us today, Lord God, and give us the faith to continue to walk in his name by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you're here today and you would like to be a member, we give you this opportunity. Also, maybe you're already saved. We want to give you that opportunity to come today and unite with St. Timothy. And we're looking forward to a really, really prosperous year.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Because I know God's already working some stuff out.
Yes.
We can see it right now.
Yeah.
Amen. If you would like to join us, we'd like to invite you at this time to be a member of St. Timothy, and we give you that opportunity right now. Come to Jesus while you have time. Come to Jesus, make up your mind. He will make your life brand new. He will take care of you. Come to Jesus while you have time. Amen. We have done as God commands, and we see that there are none, but we hope you did get a good word.
Amen.
From the message. Amen. And we're going to...